8. Wax leaped off the side of the train and raised the vial to his mouth. Steris toppled below, falling toward the river. He ripped the cork free with his teeth and turned over in the air, sucking down the contents of the vial. Cod liver oil and metal flakes washed into his mouth. Swallowing took a precious moment. Nothing. 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 Power. Wax shouted, flaring steel and pushing on the tracks up above. He shot downward in a blur, slamming into Steris, grabbed her, and pushed on the shotgun that toppled beneath her. It hit the water. They slowed immediately. Water viscosity being what it was, you could push off something sinking. A second later, the shotgun hit the bottom of the churning river, and that left the two of them hanging about 2 feet above the water's surface. A faint, solitary blue line led from Wax to the shotgun. Steris breathed in short, frantic gasps. She clung to him, blinked, and then looked down at the river. "What is wrong with that gun?" she said. "It's meant for me to shoot," Wax said, "when my weight is increased to counteract the kick." He looked up toward the disappearing train. It had crossed the river, but now it'd have to slow and chug its way down some switchbacks on a hill on the other side, coming out of the highlands to head on toward New Saren. "Hold this," he told Steris, handing her his gun belt and removing the two spheres. "What were you thinking? I told you to stay back in the other car."
"As a point of fact," she said, "you did not. You told me to stay safe."
"So?"
"So it has been my experience that the safest place in a gunfight is near you, Lord Waxillium."
He grunted. "Hold your breath."
"What? Why should I?"
She yelped as he pushed onto the steel bridge supports nearby, plunging them down into the river. Ice-cold water surrounded them as Wax kept pushing, plunging downward until he reached his gun, easily located by its blue line, settled into the muck on the bottom. Ears throbbing from the pressure, he snatched the gun, replacing it with one of Renette's sphere devices, then pushed. They popped back out of the river, trailing water, and Wax pushed them as high as his anchor would allow, and handed Steris the shotgun to hold. From there, he pushed off one of the support beams below, launching them upward and to the side. A push on one from the other direction sent them bounding upward the other way, and he was able to work them toward the top of the bridge. The angle of these pushes had sent them out away from the tracks, unfortunately. When they soared up past the bridge, he needed to sling Renette's other sphere device out, getting it into a small gap between bridge struts. He engaged the hooks so that the push from below, combined with a taut cord in his hand, swung him and Steris in an arc. He landed on the tracks, a soggy Steris in one arm, cord in the other. He could imagine Renette's grin as he told her how well the thing had worked. He disengaged the hooks and yanked the device back into his hand, though he had to wind the cord manually. Steris's teeth chattered audibly, and he glanced at her as he finished winding, expecting to see her frightened and miserable. Instead, despite being dripping wet, she had a stupid grin on her face, eyes alight with excitement. Wax couldn't help smiling himself as he stowed Renette's sphere and tied on his gun belt, then shoved his shotgun into the holster. "Remember, you're not supposed to find things like that fun, Steris. You're supposed to be boring. I have it on good authority from this woman I know."
"A tone-deaf man," Steris said, "can still enjoy a good choir, even if he could never participate."
"Not buying the act, my dear," Wax said. "Not any longer. You just climbed on top of a moving train car and shot a bandit, rescuing your fiancé."
"It behooves a woman," she said, "to show an interest in her husband's hobbies. Though I suppose I should be outraged, as this is the second time you've dunked me in a very short period of time, Lord Waxillium."
"I thought you said the first one wasn't my fault."
"Yes, but this was twice as cold, so it evens out."
He smiled. "You want to wait here, or join me?"
Join you?"
He nodded to the left. Far below, the train hit the end of its switchbacks down the hillside, leveling out to approach the final bend before heading southward. Her eyes opened wider, then she grabbed him in a tight grip. "When we land," he said, "keep your head down and find a place to hide."
"Got it."
He took a deep breath, then launched himself high in a powerful arc through the night air. They sailed across the river, coming down like a bird of prey toward the front of the train. Wax slowed himself and Steris with a careful push on the engine, settling down atop the coal tender. Inside the cab, right in front of them, a bandit held a gun to the engineer's head. Wax let go of Steris, then spun around and pumped the shotgun, popping the expended shells into the air, and pushed on the shells, sending them through the back of the engine cab and right into the bandit's head. She dropped, falling on the engine controls. Wax was nearly thrown off as the train lurched, slowing down. He spun, grabbing Steris by the arm. To his right, the startled engineer grabbed the lever, smoothing out the deceleration. Holding Steris to him, Wax leaped with a short push into the open rear of the engine, where they landed beside the engineer and the dead bandit.
"What are they doing?"
he asked, dropping Steris, then kneeling and taking the dead bandit's pistol.
"They have some device," the engineer said, frantic, pointing. "They're installing it between the coal tender and the first car. Shot my fireman when he tried to defend me, the bastards."
"Where's the next town?"
"Ironstand. We're getting close. Few more minutes."
"Get us there as quickly as you can and call for some surgeons and the local constables the moment we arrive."
The man nodded frantically. Wax closed his eyes and took a deep breath to orient himself.
"The final push. Here we go."
Halfway through the train, Marcy had reason to curse Waxillium Ladrian. Well, another reason. She added it to the list. Though she was supposed to be finding Steris, she spent most of her time being mobbed by worried passengers who needed soothing. Apparently the bandits had quickly worked their way through the second and third class cars, shaking people down for what little money they had. The people were terrified, upset, and looking for anyone with a hint of authority to comfort them. Marcy did her best, settling them onto benches, checking to see if any more people were seriously wounded. She helped bandage a young man who had stood up to a bandit, and now bore a shot on the side as a result. He might make it. Passengers had seen Steris come through here. Marcy tried to contain her worry and peeked into the next car in the line. It was deserted, save for one passenger standing calmly at the far end, cane in hand, blocking the passage. Marcy checked the various rooms as she entered, rifle held at the ready, but spotted no bandits. This was the last car before the cargo cars, which, oddly, were at the front of this train. This car's interior showed its share of bullet holes in the woodwork, suggesting Waxillium had been here.
"Sir?"
Marcy asked, hastening to the lone man. He was slender and younger than she'd expected him to be from behind, considering how his posture slumped, and how he relied upon the cane to keep him upright.
"Sir, it's not safe for you here. You should move to the rear cars."
He turned toward her with raised eyebrows.
"I am always inclined to obey the wishes of a pretty woman," he said.
She could see that he kept one hand stiff at his side, fingers closed as if clutching something.
"But what of you, miss? Is there no danger to you?"
"I can care for myself," Marcy said,
noting that the next car in line was crowded with corpses. She felt sick.
"Indeed," the man said. "You look quite capable. Quite capable indeed."
He leaned in.
"Are you more than you appear, perhaps? A metal-born?"
Marcy frowned at the odd question. She'd taken a dose of cadmium, of course, for all the good it would do. Her allomancy was generally something to laugh at. She could slow down time in a bubble around herself, which meant speeding it up for everyone else. A wonderful power if you were bored and waiting for the play to start. But it wasn't of so much use in combat, where you'd be left frozen in place while your enemies could escape or just set themselves up to shoot you when the bubble dropped. True, she could make the bubble fairly large, so she could catch others inside of it, but that would still leave her trapped, and likely with hostiles. The man smiled at her, then abruptly raised his hand, the one that appeared to be clutching something. Marcy started to react, bringing her rifle up. But at that moment, the train unexpectedly lurched, slowing as if someone had leaned on the brake. The man cursed, stumbling and slamming into the wall before falling to the floor. Marcy caught herself, but dropped the rifle. She looked at the man, who regarded her with wide eyes before maladroitly stumbling to his feet. One of his legs didn't work right, and hastening out of the train car onto the platform, slamming the door behind him. Marcy stared after him, confused. She'd assumed he was pulling a gun on her, but that hadn't been the case at all. The object had been far too small. She reached for her gun, and beside it on the floor, she was surprised to find a small metal cube with bizarre symbols on it. Gunfire sounded ahead. Marcy tucked the curiosity away and shouldered her rifle, determined to find Waxillium and, hopefully, her stupid sister. Eyes closed, Wax felt the metal burning. That fire, comfortable and familiar. Metal was his soul. Compared to it, the chill of the river was no more than a raindrop on a bonfire. He felt the gun in his fingers, a bandit's gun, unfamiliar to him. Yet he knew it by the lines pointing at its barrel, trigger, levers, the bullets inside. 5 shots left. He could see them, even with his eyes closed. Go. He opened his eyes and leaped out of the engine, pushing himself forward in a rush. He passed over the coal tender, then burst into the first cargo car, laden with mail and heaping sacks, and passed through in a tempest. He skidded out onto its rear platform and pushed to either side, launching 2 bandit guards upward and outward, 1 in each direction. The train ran up beside the river here. Trees blurred past on the left, water on the right. Wax launched himself upward onto the top of the 2nd cargo car, noting the bandits with their device here. Another, larger group had gathered atop the next car, the one they'd robbed. Wax fired with cold precision, killing the 3 bandits. He stepped up to the device the engineer had mentioned, which was nothing more than a large case of dynamite and a trigger linked to a clock. Wax ripped the detonator off, tossed it aside, then pushed the entire box away to be sure. It plunged into the river. Something pushed his gun out of his hand. He spun, finding the large bandit from before lumbering toward him across the roof. He'd left a larger group of bandits on the next rooftop over. You again, Wax thought with a growl, dropping his gun belt, but resting his foot on it to keep it from blowing away. The man came running toward Wax. With the brute very close, Wax knelt and yanked out Renette's sphere device. The bandit pushed on that, of course, causing the sphere to leap backward to the side. Wax kept a firm hold on the cord, wrapping it with a yank around the bandit's leg. The bandit stared down in confusion. Wax pushed, shoving the sphere into a batch of trees, engaging its hooks. I believe this is your stop. The large man suddenly flew off the train, yanked by the cord, which was now hooked to a tree. Wax picked up his gun belt and advanced on the larger group of bandits, wind whipping around him on the rooftop. He was facing down at least 12 of them, and he had no weapon. Fortunately, the group was busy throwing one of their members off the train? Wax blinked in surprise, but that was indeed what they were doing. They tossed one of the bandits overboard. It was the man with the cane who hit the water beside the train with a splash. A group of the others started to follow suit, leaping into the river. One spotted Wax pointing. 6 remaining bandits leveled weapons. Then froze. Wax hesitated, the wind at his back. The men didn't move, didn't flinch, didn't even blink. Wax hopped across to the next car, then took a cork from his pocket, from one of his vials, and tossed it toward the men. It hit some invisible barrier and froze there, hanging in the air. Wax grinned, then dropped down between the cars and pushed into the one the men were standing on. There, he found Marcy standing atop a bunch of suitcases, her shoulders pressed against the train's ceiling, just below the men, so she could engage a speed bubble and freeze them all in place.